Our scripture reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but what it cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. I want us to use our imaginations a bit this evening, and I want you to imagine that you're a leader of a group of people. You're trying to get these people to follow your way of life. You're trying to teach them that Christianity is the best way to live. Now, these people, you don't live near them. They live far away in a large and cultured city. But you've been able to visit them. You went to visit them, and you actually were able to stay with them for about a year and a half. And you taught them about Jesus, and they believed, and things were generally good. You even began to love and care for these people. You knew their names. You knew their stories. After all, you lived with them for 18 months. But then the time comes for you to move on, and about a year passes, and you start to hear not good news from these people. They're hanging around with immoral people and doing immoral things, so you send them a quick note warning them against those things. But they don't stop. And another year passes, and you write a much longer letter to them, warning them and also instructing them about the faith. Then another year passes. You hear things aren't going any better, so you pay them a visit, one that you would later refer to as painful. Then it's so bad, you write to them what becomes known as the letter of tears. Still, none of this works. And remember, you care about these people still. You still love them. They're still your friends. And so you sit down to write a fourth letter in order to instruct them and also tell them that you're going to come a third time to see them. Oh, and also in the midst of all of this, you're a wanted criminal. The government is after you. A religion is after you. And to top it all off, you're facing a severe medical issue that's causing you constant, intense stomach pain. It's probably not too much to say that that's not a life that any of us would want. But it would also be understandable that if that was our life, we would want to focus on the negativity of it all. We would want to become overly wrapped up in all the bad things going on. Now, you may have guessed that the person we are pretending to be this evening is the Apostle Paul, writing the letter of 2 Corinthians. And yet, despite all that's going on in Paul's life and in the life of the church at Corinth, Paul offers some pretty surprising words. He tells them, "So do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Paul is telling the church that all of the current afflictions in life are just temporary. They're just a momentary struggle. And so instead of focusing on those things, instead of focusing on the seen and the temporary, the church should be focusing on what will last forever, the eternal glory of God, eternal life, the unseen. Now, this is a difficult thing to do, not just for Paul and for the Corinthians with all that was happening in their own world, but in our own lives as well. Because there's a lot of the seen and the temporary that's constantly fighting for our attention. Our days are filled with things we have to do, things we have to get done, and what we have to do with our time. And often it can feel like in this world that the next activity or the next task on the to-do list is all there is. Yet according to Paul, those activities and tasks are all temporary and not the eternal that demands our lives. Our lives are filled with possessions and material things and worries about money and how we're going to pay for things and trying to earn more and have more. Yet according to Paul, those possessions and our money, those are all temporary and not the eternal that demands our lives. Our lives are also filled with drives for success or power or perfection, not the perfection of holy living per se, but the perfection of what the world tells us is perfect. We need to look right and act right and impress the right people and have the right friends. Yet according to Paul, this outward persona and appearance that others see is temporary and not the eternal that demands our lives. And like Paul, our lives contain trials and struggles and troubles. We face affliction and turmoil. And yet Paul is saying that as Christians, even these trials and struggles are temporary and not the eternal that demands our lives. So if the internal and the unseen is what really matters, what is that? What is the unseen? What is truly important? Well, the unseen are the parts of our lives that are defined by passion and holiness and hope and love and spirit. The unseen and the eternal is all that gives life, not what takes life out of you. The unseen and the internal is about moving forward and future and not staying put in the past. The unseen and the eternal is the building that's made by God, as our scripture says. The verse that harkens back to a common Old Testament theme is the people moved around and they set up their tents to live in, but they built their altars to God. For they knew and believed that their current lives were temporary, but that God is eternal. That is what will last. And we all know our tasks and our activities and our possessions and our money and even our trials are not what will last. Instead, what will last is God and the glory and love of God that will be part of our lives for all eternity. So if the unseen and the eternal is really where our focus is, should be, how do we do that? Well, first, we don't focus on the eternal and the unseen by completely ignoring all that is seen and temporary. Unfortunately, you still have to live and act in the world. You still have to do things on your to-do list and go to your activities. You still have to have some money to live and to give. You have to be a member of society. And you're still going to face trials and troubles, and they're still going to affect your life. As Christians, we're still called to live and be active in our world. We don't just live in bunkers waiting for heaven. You may have heard the phrase before that somebody is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. That's not really what we're striving for here. Instead, we focus on the eternal while doing the temporary. We look for and are prepared to encounter the unseen as we go about the seen. This can be difficult because, as we already talked about, the seen and the temporary is already always battling for our attention and our focus. And a lot of the seen and the temporary can provide us with some temporary yet fleeting happiness. For example, sometimes a possession or a material thing makes us feel happy for a bit. Or we feel good when we're successful. Or we feel good when we accomplish things and cross off tasks. I'll be the first to admit I'm guilty of that. There is a certain type of person in the world who loves crossing things off to-do lists, and I'm that person. I've even been known to write down things that I've already done just to be able to check it off my list. Yet, that's not where our focus should be. Instead, we're called to be ready to encounter and focus on the eternal and the unseen. For as Christians, we know that what is unseen is what will last. And so we live our lives ready to encounter God in the unseen. We might encounter the eternal by worshiping God each and every day, maybe while doing dishes. We encounter the eternal when we put off finishing the laundry because we take a friend in need out to lunch. We encounter the eternal when we go without the newest thing and instead give to help others. We encounter the eternal when we let praise and success for ourselves pass so that somebody else can learn or grow or be recognized. We encounter the eternal when, in the midst of pain and trial and turmoil, we draw our attention to hope and resurrection and remind ourselves that through our faith in Christ, that the worst thing is never the last thing. There's so much in our lives that draws our attention to the seen and to the temporary. Yet as followers of Christ, we're called to fix our eyes on what is unseen and internal. We're called to live each day experiencing and sharing as much love and grace and peace and hope of Christ as possible. So then, let us give praise to the glory of God. Let us not lose heart. Let us believe and speak. Let us focus on what's eternal. The Apostle Paul reminds us to not lose heart. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So go this week to find the unseen in the midst of the seen, to find the eternal in the midst of the temporary. Go in peace. Amen.